You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on this first trading day of the new week, and with me to review the day on the 5 o'clock shadow is Greg Davies, Chief Trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. Greg, a very muted sort of a session today, and as we said on the opening this morning, I think what we're looking forward to is the US Federal Reserve's FOMC US interest rate decision on Wednesday, followed by the jobs on Friday, possibly also some prognostications coming out of the trade talks between China and the United States of America. So Monday and Tuesday going to be quiet, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday probably less so.
Yeah, you called it spot on this morning. You did say expect a quiet day. We managed volume of just north of 11 billion, 11 Oof. Point, nearly 11 and a half.
Oh, gosh.
So these are December. I mean, I don't mean to cough, but it's really, really poor. And it seems to be a pattern where the Mondays are very quiet. And then, as you say, probably building up. We'll probably make up for lost ground probably really Thursday, Friday, because we'll get the Fed on Wednesday night. So everybody sort of putting or buying orders, and you do see it, especially from the institutional clients. Yes, give us a ring on Thursday and we might have something for you, but we're uncertain on the Fed. And so let's leave it until then. You get a lot of that type of conversation.
Mm. Oh, sorry, Greg. I'm drinking something called a Heineken Zero, which says Heineken Lager Beer, 0.0% premium quality. And for the first one or two, your brain thinks, oh, you're drinking a beer, but then
it's a placebo effect.
The third one, your brain says, wait a second, there's something wrong here. But anyway, that doesn't matter. It's very good for one and rehydrates you and everything in this sweltering heat. Greg, ArcelorMittal came out with a trading update today. Anything happening there?
Yeah, and I think it's the second one which they've given us, so it wasn't too many shocks. The share price is way, way down on 18 months ago. The share closed today at R2.64, up 1%. I mean, it really is. It's made itself into a small cap, just over time. Incredible how they once mighty, this obviously all comes out of ISCO, which was a huge listing back in its day.
I'm just
quickly scrolling back to, let me drop back to 2016 and see where we were those days. The high point there, actually, February of 17, it was at R14.29. So it's come a long way down, a market cap of $3 billion.
Yeah, but if you go back to 2006, 2007, wasn't it above R100 a share?
I think so, but it may have been, but there were bits and pieces which they had to unbundle. My system's not fast-forwarding fast enough, but I'm currently on 2013. Let's drop in at
2012. But it has been, it did have its salad days, and now it is really in the doldrums, is what you're saying.
Yes, 2014, also the February, R46.26. So it's been a slow motion train crash, as the Americans like to say.
Yes, they do. Anyway, that's the only really big announcement on the JSE today, on the Stock Exchange News Service anyway. That's all I can see. Have you seen anything? Oh, the Efficient Group. Now, this is an interesting one because the Efficient Group has been listed for 10 years. It was a financial services company, and I suppose 10 years ago, what was that, 2009? So it listed just before, or just after, in fact, the market bottomed. From what I can understand, it's been doing quite well in its own quiet way. And I've just spoken to Davy Root, who's the founder, director, and chief economist at the Efficient Group. And you can listen to that interview on sharenet.co.za and strictlybusinesspodcast.com. He was very, very clear about why they are leaving the JSE, and there's various reasons, and I won't give you a teaser, but have a listen to the interview. But he was also brutal about the South African economy. So please have a listen to that one, Greg. It was fascinating. And this is a man who is a passionate, passionate South African.
He really is. You're one of the great minds of the market, and a fascinating guy to listen to. The courage to build a business like this, you just have to really admire. But it's understandable, throwing in the towel. I don't think the free float was that big, really. All the shareholders were there, were sort of long-term locked up and quite happy with the business. Just more or less mopped up the shares which were in the free float, really. And the share finishing up 3.8%, R4.35. A difficult space, really, in financial services at the moment. I know we spoke earlier about the volume on the JSE, but that kind of thing's indicative of how much interest there really is. A lot of money leaving the country, money which would have been, invested by the Efficient Group. So, you know, I think they're seeing a sort of dwindling possible client base that's probably concerning them. But I'll look forward to that interview. I will retweet it onto my Twitter handle.
Please do. It's up there now. But he also talked about the JSE and the role of fringe stock exchanges like the JSE, not so much niche. I can't remember the word that he employed, but he did say that eventually they will completely go out of business. And I made the point that there used to be incubators for financial services companies like the Efficient Group, for tech companies like Dimension Data and Data Tech and all the other ones from the 1990s. And now it's just sort of dwindling away to nothing. And it was another bad news story. I mean, it's sad to see any company leaving the JSE, but it's the second one in a week. The other one was Pioneer Foods, of course, a much, much bigger concern.
Yes, I mean, what he's saying there is right. Is, and we've often touched on this, that these smaller caps, they're great businesses, they offer good opportunities. The share prices never move because they don't fall into any of the ETFs, which I like to call the dumb money, which people haven't done their homework. They buy a basket of shares in an ETF and they try and guess which of those, you know, those particular baskets going to do better than the other. And if you just worry that that's the way stock markets are going to go, that there aren't going to be these individual companies that are taking on the mighties. And this is how we got a Coronation and Investec back in the day. You know, in the early 90s, these companies weren't heard of and they went on to be huge companies. I mean, even something like Peregrine, which was listed, I think, around 2000 and when was we working together? Actually, the late 90s. And went on to be a great company. So, as you say, incubator is exactly what the JSE should be. But I should imagine perhaps he's got a sort of almost more doomsday scenario where we all just trade the one stock exchange, you know, globally 24/7.
That's what I always think is going to happen. I always thought there might be a Pan-African stock exchange and it would just be centered somewhere and not in one geographical location, but just in some room somewhere and everything's digital and electronic and everything, but it just seems to me it's going that way. And on another sad note before we get to the numbers, Greg, I keep rereading the Financial Mail article, the interview with Johan Rupert. You've obviously read it yourself.
Yes, I mean, yeah, it's concerning because...
It really is.
As someone pointed out, there's no one that's probably paid more tax, created more jobs. Some of the other Stellenbosch crowd have come late, but the Rupert family, what they've built, some global businesses. And, we don't need negativity from people in that echelon, for sure.
Yeah, let me just read you the first two paragraphs. I've already done that with David Shapiro. And again, you can listen to Shapiro World on strictlybusinesspodcast.com. I'll read it again for you, Greg. It says, Johan Rupert, the chair of Remgro and Richemont, who has always been vocal about his loyalty to South Africa, and then it says, in brackets, his private plane bears the national Springbok symbol, has started to doubt the country's future. I'll read that again. Has started to doubt the country's future. His children live in England. He thinks it's better that way. When they are here in South Africa, we don't sleep. When they were here, we couldn't go out in public without being insulted. It affected my family, he says. That's a terrible indictment of the state of South Africa at the moment.
Yes, and it sort of goes back to when you had those Gupta bots and that firm in the UK, which was spreading this white monopoly capital, making out as these capitalists were in the roots of all the problems. Meantime, they're creating all the jobs. I do remember he referred to Julius Malema as a mosquito in the tent, which I thought was quite good. But I think behind the scenes, he pumps a huge amount of money. And there is talk, if you look how many great golfers South Africa has produced, and he does it very, very quietly. And I think obviously he's probably pumping money into rugby as well, because if you just follow his Twitter handle, you can see he's a passionate supporter of South African sport and obviously a very patriotic, lover of the country.
I really think he is. I spoke to him a couple of times and he was always very, very friendly and very accessible. But anyway, I'm going to try and get him again and see if he
replied
can...
to one of my tweets once.
Oh, did he?
I sent him a private message and I was flabbergasted. He actually replied to me in Afrikaans. I think he probably wanted to take that I wasn't, I was the real deal. And fortunately, I understand the language.
Very good, Greg. Let's have a look at the spot prices, shall we? While you're reminiscing about your very brief love affair with Johann Rupert. Hold a second, let me get the market data up here. Sharenet.co.za, spot prices. And let's go to the Rand, which has strengthened a little bit today. It's a very small amount. 14.20 against the US dollar. It is 17.36 against the British pound and 15.81 against the euro, with the euro dollar 111.30. Those prices are not going to change much, I don't think, ahead of the FOMC meeting decision on Wednesday evening around about 8:15 South African time. On the commodities markets, the gold price barely changed at 14.20, which is up about $1.50 per ounce. The platinum price is $878, up $13.30, which is pretty good, up 1.5%. Palladium, Greg?
Yeah, the palladium up $24, in fact, $15.57. Hmm. So on a bit of a tear there in line with the stronger platinum.
The Dow Jones is up 72 points, or 0.25%. The Nasdaq is down. Is that correct? Down 0.7%, Greg?
Yeah, look at that. It's down 57 points.
That's right. So yeah. We've got the Dow Jones up 0.25%, and the Nasdaq down 0.7%. The S&P down 0.2%. There must be one stock in the Nasdaq, one preeminent
probably
stock
Apple.
That is getting stuck.
Something's rattled the market there. And I'll try and Google while we're chatting.
There's a holiday in the UK today, isn't there?
Yeah, perhaps that's the reason for the market being so quiet.
Yeah, that's one of the other reasons. Okay, Greg, give us the top five up and down on the JSE Securities Exchange today. Any stocks that really stood out?
Let me refresh my share net here.
There we go.
This can be funny. Sometimes we wish rotate to the same ones, but Impala Platts had a very, very strong day, up 4.8%. We mentioned the platinum and the palladium price there. Dis-Chem bouncing back nicely, up 3.2%, 22.58. Discovery also one that was hammered down. Lots of stories on the internet and Twitter about the NHR. That share bouncing nicely back, up 3.2% to 133.70. Sunlam up 3%, also was knocked down last week. And then MTN had a really good day, back at 109.98, up 3% at 110 level. You know, looks breakable at the moment. It's got results on the 8th of August, so not too much longer for investors to wait. So we look forward to that.
Yes, we do. And on the downside, Hammerson got hammered, down 6.25% into prop. People got into that one, down 3.7%. Vukile down 2.3%. PSG Consult down 2%. And High Prop down 1.75%. Property stocks there, Greg. Hammerson, into prop,
yeah.
High Prop.
Yeah, we did mention Hammerson there on the opening this morning on the pod. And actually, initially, the share price was moved stronger. But as the afternoon drew on, I think the pound is weakening quite a bit. That didn't help. And the share price down 6%, 44.82. And if you look at those others, it's all property stocks that have come under pressure during the day today.
Okay, give us the closing JSE indices that we track, please, Greg. And again, reiterate what the volume was today.
The banks up 1.15%, financials up 0.80, industrials up 1.14, retailers up 0.19, the gold index up 1.25%, that's nice, platinum up 2.9, that's all Impala's work, the resource index up 0.75%, the oil share up 0.81, up 464 points. The last hour we did have quite a nice spurt of buying that gets us just above the 58,035. Volume 11.356 billion.
Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.